Later this month, we begin a series of stories about historic theaters across the state that marks National Historic Preservation Month. Recently, Savannah area residents were shocked to learn all five employees of the historic Lucas Theater were let go. Jim Marikas has been following this story for Connect Savannah, and he is the editor-in-chief there. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Can you tell us first about the Lucas Theater and why it matters so much to some people in Savannah?
Yeah, the story of the Lucas Theater is really a very very typical and wonderful Savannah story because it is a historic building. It's our premier fine arts venue. It is a bit unusual in that a city in which the Savannah College of Art and Design has restored and renovated so many historic buildings, this is actually one which was renovated through mostly a public-private partnership. Some tax money went into the renovation. And so when SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design, took it over in 2002, there was very much a big sense of public ownership and public emotional investment in this theater. It wasn't just another property that the college had taken over and or renovated.
And then we got this news that all five of the people that work for the Lucas Theater were let go. What do we know about why they were dismissed?
Well, the official reason given from the college is for efficiency and restructuring. And so, you know, one assumes it is financial in nature. These theaters are hard to run in the best case scenario. In fact, one reason that SCAD came in to get a controlling interest on the board is precisely because the theater was in financial trouble and frankly needed a deep pockets partner to come in and help them stay in operation. Now, since then, I think you'd find few people who would argue that SCAD has mismanaged the theater. It's had a wonderful year-round schedule of performances. And by and large, you'd have to say the Savannah public has been very pleased with the offerings there. For example, the 2.5-week Savannah Music Festival had just concluded with basically daily and evening performances in the Lucas the day before the employees were fired, which I think added a certain element of drama to the whole incident.
And we do have this statement from SCAD. It is, quote, "The Lucas Theater is a beloved historic landmark. The theater will remain open, and we will continue to provide quality programming for this important pillar of the Savannah community," end quote. But what do we know about how the schedule may or may not change going forward? And who's going to be working there?
right, exactly. I think it's safe to say right now they are going to sort of let the staff at the Trustees Theater, which is a fully SCAD-owned venture right around the corner, they will take over day-to-day operations. And in other words, there was not a team set ready to come in, ready to parachute in and take over the Lucas by any means. I think the proof will be in the pudding this summer. There are some events that were on the calendar but not finalized, and I think a lot of people are waiting to see if those things come to fruition. For example, St. Paul and the Broken Bones are playing there this coming weekend, and that booking is not in any kind of jeopardy. That's going to happen. So anything that noteworthy is still going to happen. But there's a wide variety of events that are held at that theater that public, local groups take part in. And I think that's a little bit of the trepidation that people feel here. They're like, now that SCAD kicked out the staff, what are they going to limit publicly accessible programming in this theater, which I feel really would be sort of a betrayal in a sense of an implicit pledge made to the community 15 years ago.
When
they took over, right.
I should mention St. Paul and the Broken Bones, for those who don't recognize that name, is a pretty well-known neo-soul, we call them neo-soul. It's a band out of Birmingham that's gained national attention and did a very highly watched NPR Tiny Music Desk concert, actually. But when you
they're great.
Yeah, when you talk about betrayal, one of the reasons you mentioned that, I assume, is because it was the community that helped restore the theater. It was the community that helped support this theater when it was in danger of going away.
Absolutely. And that's true, but it's not just that. See, this Lucas is also tied up in Savannah's psyche with Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, of course, the iconic book slash movie. And how that happened was the wrap party for the movie, which was filmed on location in Savannah, was held at the Lucas. And Clint Eastwood was there and Kevin Spacey was there. And that event and the involvement of the cast and crew of that film at the Lucas really helped sort of cement the reputation of the Lucas as we've got something special here, and it belongs to all of us, and not just in emotional terms, but in financial terms as well. Kevin Spacey contributed about $250,000 of his own money to go to the renovation. And of course, that spurred other donations as well. So there's a real sense of public ownership of this theater, despite the fact that it has been what's called an affiliate of the Savannah College of Art and Design for 15 years.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Jim Marikas. He's the editor-in-chief of Connect Savannah. And we're talking about the scandal, I think it's fair to say, over the dismissal of five employees, all of the employees that worked at the historic Lucas Theater. And that theater has been run by SCAD for more than a decade. There's also been a number of questions because of some secrecy surrounding not just the firings. I mean, we have, at this point, more questions than answers, I think it's fair to say. But SCAD is relatively well known for secrecy. To what extent do we not really understand how decisions are made at SCAD on anything?
Right. Well, this, you know, this is certainly a far cry from a United Airlines level, you know, PR debacle. No one is suggesting it's anything remotely close to that. But I think what happened, and I think this is sort of the consensus opinion, probably at SCAD as well, is that the statement that you just read, which is a 2-week old statement, there's nothing new since 2 weeks. That statement you just read, it sort of added fuel to the fire because it was so vague, and it allowed people to fill in the blanks with whatever negative things they wanted to think that they may have had in their head about the Savannah College of Art and Design already. You know, it's a privately held school. They're not obliged to tell us every single thing they do. They're certainly not obliged to put their personnel decisions up to a public referendum. And no one is suggesting that. I'm certainly not suggesting that.
Yeah.
But I think the way it was handled. Yeah.
Sorry, we'll have to end it there. That's Jim Marikas. He's the editor in chief of Connect Savannah. Thank you.
Thank you.
The National Rifle Association held its annual meeting in Atlanta over the weekend. President Donald Trump headlined the event. Our senior producer, Emily Curitan, was in the crowd, and she brings us this audio postcard.
These are dangerous times. These are horrible times for certain obvious reasons. But we're going to make them great times again.
I'm Penny. I'm from Stone Mountain. This is my first NRA conference. I'm deciding to get a gun because crime is steadily on the rise. I am a single woman who lives alone, and I need to be able to protect myself.
Kenneth Hunt from Niles, Michigan. Well, obviously, you just turn on the news, you can see threats every day. I got three little children, my beautiful wife. You never know what the threat's going to be out there. I own my own business to help people prepare themselves for any type of threat that would arise. You've seen the people that they interviewed in there, people breaking into other people's houses, trying to stab them, take advantage of their safety and their well-being.
Don't let Hillary leave you protected with nothing but a phone. The NRA political victory fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
We see what it's like to be French, German, or Belgian, where innocent people cower in fear as evil closes in, utterly aware of their own vulnerability, doomed to defend their families with rolling pins and broom handles. Let the rest of the world choose to live in fear.
Well, I'm not really afraid of anything. I think it's time to start taking action. I mean, fear is the unknown. I'm Catherine Montini, and I'm from Georgia right now, but I'm a native Coloradoan.
For too long, Washington has gone after law-abiding gun owners while making life easier for criminals, drug dealers, traffickers, and gang members.
He speaks to the people, not at them. Big difference. Big difference. Lenny Solomon, I'm a native Atlantan.
I will never, ever let you down.
We did him a good turn in the election, and he came back now to thank us. It's very nice. I'm John Gorshi, and I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Thank you.
I'm president for the White House.
Back to the White House, huh?
I coming back.
Yeah. Mike Story, I'm from Eatonton, Georgia.
Tress.
Shelby Story, I'm from Eatonton, Georgia. At least we have a president now that's standing up against the rest of the world, and we're not bowing down to him. He will. We'll fight. There's so many people. My husband fought in a war many years ago, and we're willing to do that same thing again and to support those that do.
There are places only the hunter goes.
My name is Coco. I had a tough time getting into the affair. I even have my Afro pick in here, and I was surprised that no one took that. But once I got in, I saw a myriad of people from all walks of life. Hearing the speech from Chris Cox compelled me to come to this affair and join NRA.
I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
When I was a little girl, my father taught me how to shoot. And he felt that we needed to know how to protect our family. I was 8 years old when he first put a gun in my hand, and it was incredible. I can feel his arms around me now.
My name is Dan Lenve, and I'm from High Falls, New York. I'm excited about looking at all the guns and gear down here on the floor.
My name is Chad, and I'm with Springfield Armory. This is our XD pistol. So basically, a semi-auto handgun. You're going to put a magazine in the handgun, manipulate the slide, which will make the pistol ready to fire. If you're planning on carrying, or just getting into shooting, practice makes perfect. Get some training. Find someone, friends, family members that are familiar with handguns. Go to the range. Education is key.
That piece was produced by Emily Curitan from the meeting of the National Rifle Association here in Atlanta.